Well, let's call the public hearing of the Economic Development Randolph Winchester Redevelopment Commission to order. Before we start, I'd just like to say two things. One, for Todd Schroeder, thank you for joining us. Appreciate you doing that. And the other is Jim Nunez wanted us to know that he had rotator cuff surgery yesterday, and that's the reason he's out today. So that accounts for the members.
That's like a pretty good excuse.
Well, it sounds like it worked for me. The discussion is on the driver economic development area. That has been explained in past meetings. Are there folks, one, welcome to all of you folks out there. Are there any discussion to come from our group this evening? Or questions? You're more than welcome. You'll be recognized.
I have one. I guess I've never been clear on what they actually paid for the building. Can you tell me that, or is that for every information?
What the city paid for?
No, it's not at all.
No, what they paid is what they paid the school for the city.
I'll let the mayor handle that.
The offer to, for anybody to acquire the building will be going out in the paper, and there will be a minimum bid on that offer that will be submitted, and it will be published next Thursday and the Thursday following that. Anybody who wishes to bid on it per the request of the, per the criteria established in the notice of sale can do so. And then the Redevelopment Commission will then have the opportunity then to review those submissions and determine if they want to accept them or not. And then if they choose not to accept them, then they can go into negotiations with whomever may be out there with an interest for acquiring the property. It's important to note that one of the criteria that is in the notice of sale is that it has to, whoever puts in a purchase, a request for that, an offer for that property, has to employ at least 100 people. And it has to be either industrial or a heavy commercial usage.
But Mayor Tan, if I could, please. I think your question was, what did the city acquire the property from the school for? Was that?
No, I was just more interested in what they were going to, who do they pay? Are they going to pay the city? The city has the property now, right?
The city has the property now. The school turned it over. The city paid a dollar.
A dollar, right.
When the school determined.
All the paperwork's not finalized on it yet, but it will be finalized.
But it will be finalized. But the school, in disposing of the property, has to first offer it to charter schools. That's the state statute. Mm-hmm. It has to put it out there. And so they put that notice out, and then I think the statute says they have to wait 3 years to see if a charter school is interested. They got a waiver from the Department of Education to waive that period, in which case the city Redevelopment Commission is in the process of acquiring that property for a dollar. And then this Redevelopment Commission will take proposals on the opportunity to redevelop that site. And that's what the mayor was talking about as far as the proposal that would be advertised. And the bids to be received, I think, on the 8th of October at the next meeting of the commission.
Okay, I just want to.
Further discussion?
Mr. President, just for the record, my name is Steve Coyle, Mayor of the City of Winchester. I think this is a good opportunity for a good job, what I call a job saving. We're looking at trying to create an environment out here that will be conducive to reinvestment into our community, and taking a property that was probably just going to sit there and fall into decay, speculate, and become a burden on the school district to move or destroy. And we're going to make this property a viable job enterprise zone that's going to create wealth and opportunities for the citizens of Winchester, Randolph County, and East Central Indiana.
And I guess add that even a little bit more is, I think it's the opportunity for the city of Winchester to work with the school corporation and also with industry, with job creators in our community, the employers. And that is to, one, keep using a building that could possibly fall into disrepair, with the school corporation or whatever would happen to it as the future took place there. And also retain an employer is another thing, but it's also then we can be that catalyst that makes all of that happen to retain those jobs, hopefully grow those jobs, and keep that a very viable site out there to produce high-paying jobs in this community, to retain and produce high-paying jobs in this community.
Can I add something? Meeks Cockrell, City of Winchester. Just to be clear, so everybody would know, the public hearings tonight, once we publish the notice of sale, which is proposal on 9/24, the 24th, then there will be a second publication on the 1st of October. Bids to be received by October 8th. Those bids would have to be the average of the two appraisals. You could not accept anything for less than that. So that the average of the two appraisals are $345,000. One appraisal was $350,000. The second appraisal was $340,000. Now, if there's no bids of the $345,000, then you have to go through a second round that you could sell for less than that appraised valuation, only after 30 days have passed from that October 8th. So you'll be looking at November 8th, well, I don't know how many days are in October, November 7th, to be able then to negotiate something less than that. So I hope that answers
your question.
Okay. Well, we received it for a dollar. I would want to say the city received it for a dollar. The 300, any monies that would come back into the redevelopment commission's budget to be used for whatever you would use the funds.
And Meeks, isn't it correct that the commission, I mean, by law, it has to be advertised for sale?
Yes.
But the commission has the authority to refuse any offers?
Yes, you can reject all offers.
That's
correct. So I want to make, yes, it will be right in that notice that all offers may be, you do not have to accept them.
Right.
So if somebody comes in for $350,000 and wants to put in a landfill, you can say no.
Or whatever.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of something that would be objectionable to everybody.
Yeah.
Nuclear toxic waste stuff, you could say no.
But what about then the notice that Mayor Crowe mentioned about the 100?
You can be a restriction.
Clarify that.
The restriction would be that it would have to come to the average of the two appraisals and that 100 employees. You can make whatever restrictions you want on the sale. That's just the restriction that they have placed on.
Okay, thank you.
Further questions, further discussion? If not, we will close the public hearing and move directly into the regular agenda for the Winchester Redevelopment Commission for September 17th. Okay. First item on our agenda, we have introduced Don Schroeder, so again, glad to have you. Then the second item is the Redevelopment Commission Resolution 2015-2, the resolution of the City of Winchester Redevelopment Commission confirming resolution declaring an area in Winchester, Indiana as an economic development area and approving an economic development plan for that said area.
Mr. President, before you get too far into that, I want to state that 2015-2 is an incorrect number. That should be 4.
not between four.
Question, the middle school is inside the city limits?
Yep.
I thought it was, I'm just wondering. Sure, but... So you need a motion to approve that resolution?
I do.
So moved.
A motion made by Scott Hawkins. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Todd Schroeder. Discussion? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And opposed?
How many copies do we need signed?
I need one.
What is it?
I was gonna say...
Three would be enough.
Three would be enough.
Okay, I have two copies here.
I can have a copy.
I have one here.
Yeah, one here for Jeff.
So there's three, you wanna start those around the table here?
Sounds good, we'll move on through the agenda then.
Before you move on from the agenda, could I get one other motion? That upon getting the deed to the property, which should happen maybe today or tomorrow, or whenever they come to sign, that you authorize the mayor to get that rezoned to an M2, is what I believe.
M2?
M2. Because if you're gonna have an industrial commercial use, you need an M2 use.
So I need a motion to rezone that area of...
Let's just say rezoning, I think it might be an M3.
Okay.
M2 or M3, up to the...
Rezoning to the appropriate...
Yes.
Zoning number.
So moved.
Motion made by Todd Schroeder.
Second.
Seconded by Tony Wallace. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
If the commission will own it, so they will have to be petitioned. But to be clear, that zone, what happens is it goes to area plan and then goes in front of the city council, it won't come back to front of you. That part. So you have to be the petitioners that request it.
Should we assign the secretary or be this...
Well, I think you were appointed the acting secretary the last meeting, so you do assign that.
We're okay for now. Okay, thank you. We'll move forward then with Jim Higgins of London Witty and the financial assumptions relative to the margin announcement. Jim, we look forward to hearing it.
Well, that's what I've been talking over. And thank you, and again, sorry for walking in at the last minute and having these, but I didn't have them available before I came to Muncie earlier in the week to do some work on campus. And if I would email it to you, you would open it up and print it with a smile, and you would come back, and so I had folks that I think were a little bigger than my people. So as soon as I saw the announcement, Joe, many of you didn't, yeah, one person.
Thank you.
And, you know, hit the media. We were prepared for it to start looking at it, and then the mayor called the next day, and I already had people working on it. So put together for first this four-part analysis that I thought was kind of appropriate. And so other than the summary page that explains each of the four scenarios, each scenario behind it has two pages. Okay, so the first page is basically the TIF cash flow as it currently stands as it relates to increment and outstanding debt. So it's all of the current outstanding obligations of the Redevelopment Commission to pay for increment, and the current pay 2015 increment levels that are available when we look at the estimated revenue kind of coming forward based on 2015 tax rate. So you see the 2005B bonds that are outstanding, which are the original Vision Park bonds, next year is the last payment.
at the end of this year, that last $220,000 lease payment, that's why there's only one payment there. The total that is summarized there from 2015 through 2036, on the total column is the total debt service payments that we're currently obligated for over the next 21 years. The TIF revenue is again based on current assessments that we're aware of at the current tax rates. And it falls off because some of the earlier established areas will fall off. That's why we dropped from 599 down to, you know, 200 and some odd thousand dollars in the out years. The next number is the coverage, right? Which is the amount of increment we have over and above debt service. So we want that number to be 1x+, right? A 1-to-1 means we have just enough increment coming in from the current year's obligations to satisfy the current year's debt service. So as you see, those numbers vary from a 101 this year, you know, up to a 140 number over time. And so, you know, we would look at that and say we've got sufficient revenues based on today's activity, not assuming any other growth, not assuming any other increase in the tax rate, that we could support the debt that we've taken on. So now the question becomes the what ifs. And so the first what if scenario that we looked at was, you know, Barjun announced that they intend to, and so if you take it at the worst case, they're going to close their facility in 2016. So we assume post 2016, they would be obligated to make tax payments in 17. But after 17, we no longer get any taxes based on the equipment that's in the building. You know, all that business personal property tax that gets, or for the equipment that gets assessed, that we've used as increment to support some of the financing that we did. Let's just assume they pull all that equipment out, they sell it off at auction, it's not there, whatever becomes of it. So scenario B walks us through that setup, which is the third long page.
You're saying exhibit B.
Exhibit B.
Okay.
And so exhibit B says the real property is still there, the building still stands, but after 2017, the business personal property goes away. All things being equal, what happens? And you'll see that there's a small hiccup in 2018 and 2019, where the coverage dipped below one, right? It gets to 97% and 98% coverage. And even at 1x, it rounds to one, right? We're short in each of those years between $2,000 and $14,000, depending on the year. Assuming no growth, no additional increment coming in from other sources, no change in the tax rate, we suffer a small setback that we can easily absorb in cash balances that we have. I mean, so it's not insurmountable. We're going to, you know, we're going to get there, and we can weather that storm. But again, that means there's no taxable property, equipment-wise, in that facility. Mm-hmm. So then, you know, we play out the what if. And we say, well, you know, hey, what if come 17, there's nothing. I mean, we're obligated to get the real property because it's there and it exists. Somebody ought to be paying it. Let's just assume it's not being paid by the current owner, just we walk away from it. Well, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to place liens on the property, right, to protect our position, because we're going to be owed money from a standpoint so that if it eventually sells, we get that revenue. But scenario C walks through that very instance. And you see, that's a little worse. Right? We have some larger losses that we may have to absorb or cover based on current debt structure, current increment stream, current taxes.
Can I interrupt just a second, Jim?
Yes.
But if they just totally stop paying their real estate taxes, mm-hmm. the county will put a lien, and I go to tax sale.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're, so eventually that's
we're going to collect it.
That's going to be collected, but it might take a year or two to collect it.
And so
looking at this, I mean, I think that's not saying it's the numbers are right, but in reality,
it's a delay in payment. It's a delay in payment. We had a similar issue with in Hendricks County several years ago. Paul Hicks came in with a big steel mill out there on 74 in Pittsburgh. And not so much from a tax standpoint, but from a utility standpoint, they were a big user of water, right? And then a big insource to the city's sewer utility. And they had a contractual obligation to pay the city sewer utility some $29,000 a month based on their productivity. But when they shut down operations, they didn't use water, so they didn't have a sewer bill. So they stopped paying the sewer bill. Well, after 6 months, we put a lien on the property and we amassed $600,000 worth of contractually obligated sewer payments. 2 years later, that mill sold. And when Nucor came in and bought it, Town Pittsburgh got a check for $600,000 to bring them current. And they were, because they had no desire to place that lien. I said, someday, somehow, that thing sells. And when it happens, you'll get satisfied, we'll get paid. And so take the steps to put the lien in place, and it paid off. So you'll see that there are issues, and we'll have, we can restructure debt, we can look at other options, but that's the worst case. Absolutely nobody. And that means they've walked away from it. Totally. And their obligation. And so again, just so you have it up front, we've got more than a year or 2 years to look at this, but the idea is to go through all of these what ifs from a practicality standpoint of what are we looking at now, and as we're making decisions between now and then on other projects, what do we have to prepare for? So that's the third scene.
Well, and those are also lanes that have to be cleared before that property can be sold.
Correct.
It's precedent.
Real estate property taxes are the first ones satisfied before a mortgage, before UCC property. We're before the bank, Jim.
I'm aware of
that. I think he knew that.
I just wanted to make that point that folks understand that if the property sells, they have to be paid first.
And you're right. The county puts that lien on the property.
Right.
But because we're in a TIF district, because all of that increment, or all of that tax is regarded almost exclusively to the increment, other than the bare land in which it sits, which is the base, those tax revenues, when they are received, are coming directly to the commission. The county would get its piece, the city would get its piece on the base value of the land. Everything else, all the improvements, both real and business personal, to the extent that it's there, is coming back to us.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify.
Yeah. And so the very last scenario.
Yes. I hear what the impact was on scenario C.
Scenario C runs anywhere from an impact, and this is between 2027 and 2018, between $8,000 and $139,000 a year.
Okay.
And again, that's assuming current tax rate, current increment, doesn't account for any of the current abatement on other projects or other growth that may be out there that occurs within the city. Because we know our revenue streams aren't going to be stagnant outside of margin. And so the last scenario in this set of numbers deals with what if we lose all the business personal property and the plant sold? And now I'm going into a whole bunch of different what ifs. But if I'm a business owner and I buy that plant and I didn't pay what is assessed, do I have an ability to appeal my property tax assessment based on what I buy it for? All right, you could tell me, and I'll just make up a number, that plant or that building costs $30 million. And I commit and I buy it at 50%, right? I buy it for $15 million. I may have a case to approach the county and appeal that down because I can tell you, you may think that's the market value based on the construction cost, but the market value is what I paid for,
right?
And maybe I want to go in and ask for that appeal. So we assume all the business personal property comes out of it, and the value of the building is decreased by half. So we give you that kind of other option to look at, and you'll see that number is not as bad. It's still a three-year kind of hit that you take in 18, 19, and 20. You know, and it's roughly $90,000 a year on average for those 3 years. And that assumes that all that happens and the appeal is immediate. the sale is when?
You assume they close in 16, we get our 17 money, and we don't get any money in 18. Or it sells between now and then, and it's appealed based on a purchase in sometime in 17, that we pay in 18. You'd get your appeal done by then. And again, I don't say that to give somebody the idea that they go in and buy it cheaper and appeal that down. I mean, that's, if I was working for that person, that's what I would suggest, but that's possible.
They would probably ask for that before they close the deal, would they?
Well, odds are, if they're spending that kind of money, and you figure they're used to the business, they understand the process,
right,
and they know what they need to do to get that done.
And that, in your scenario, D is assuming the new user doesn't put anything in that building.
Right. And so that's correct. So if they come in and Marjun takes all their equipment out, and somebody else puts new equipment in, right, there's going to be increment generated on that. Now, why I didn't make that assumption about replacement of equipment, odds are they're going to approach you looking potentially for some type of abatement.
Yeah.
And if they do, why would I want to factor that in now and give false hope in kind of a number? So I've just assumed if it comes out, it comes out. And if it goes back in, then that's a negotiation that takes place at that time. And you can see what your shortcomings are for that period of time.
Well, I think this is a very helpful plan tool, and it, without a doubt, has an impact on the cash flows of the Redevelopment Commission and also indirectly on the City of Winchester.
Right.
But in the obvious one, this probably have to be spoken, but probably should be, is that if there's a sale of that property, this could also go on cash flowing pretty much like it is.
I think in the announcement they talked about that they were seeking, you know, potential purchasers, and if that happens between now and then, I mean, I understand the notification that's required.
Sure.
And if they're actually working towards something, then that's a good thing. But you need to be aware of what this means, as far as it relates to the debt that you put out there and put the increment behind. And so I thought this was probably the easiest and the cleanest. Every sheet that's behind the first exhibit is just the detail. That's the staff showing you the map of how it works. And then the last couple of pages are just a recap, the same thing you find in your financial packet every month, about the detail of all the debt that's outstanding, that's remaining, that ties back to that first page for every obligation, so you can see how that kind of falls off. And we can look, like I said, if we have to get into how we restructure or move around to make that easier, that's what we'll do.
Jim, I would compliment you on the analysis and the explanation of it. You're all very good.
So then I did one other piece because of that same scenario, but not putting it into the cash flows, but just a calculation. This whole idea of changing the assessed value of the property based on sale. And again, not to put it out necessarily for public consumption. But the first page deals with the real property impacts, because, you know, if there's the current pay 16 value of the real property that Marjun pays, and what the increment is that's generated. And so, you know, we get increment off of that real property of $125,000 a year. Next year, we'll actually get $12,000 more. We'll get $138,000 a year. And that's because there's abatement associated with that investment, and this is the last year for that abatement, so next year it rolls off. So we're going to get a natural increase next year of $12,000. But then we say, if the property holds the same value going forward, if we decrease the value 25%, if we decrease it 50%, and if we decrease it 75%, what's that change in hard value? What's that look like? And you can see, if we decrease the assessed value of that 75%, that's the $120,000 impact that we show in the earlier earlier statements. It should tie it back pretty much to the spot. The second page just deals with business personal property in the same regard. How it's currently calculated based on their increment, what it's going to be next year if there's no change, and that's the bigger one. Right? Currently, this year, they're going to pay us $111,000. Next year, they're going to be obligated to pay $387,000 because the abatement falls off. And then how we make that adjustment going forward. Year over year, if it's replaced, and this is how you get to the replacement. Or if we lose everything and somebody puts in equipment and it's at half the value, then you could just estimate that that's the 50% number that we pick up. And we plug back into any one of those prior analysis that we did.
Okay. Run that by me. The personal property is what I'm confused about, Jim. Sorry.
The business personal property is the equipment and the machinery
right,
that's used
that.
In production.
Okay. So if I sell that, if I understand.
If it goes away. Right. If we take it out of the building
right.
and move it to okay. wherever, we take it to China, we move it down the street, mm-hmm. we scrap it.
Okay.
There's no taxable property there. It all goes away.
Okay.
But if somebody pulls all that out and it has a value and they replace it, as Meek said, somebody buys the building
right.
and use it for a manufacturing concern, they need something mm-hmm. to do the manufacturing process, so there'll be equipment brought in.
Right.
And it may or may not have a value equal to what it is mm-hmm. now.
Okay.
So you can use this analysis to say, well, if the equipment they bring in is 75% value-wise is what's there today, you can kind of gauge what...
So basically $3.2 million worth of equipment is going to be...
Yes.
If you look at the top figure.
Yes. It
tells you the value of the equipment.
And so it's just a way to look at that other part of a what-if is on a replacement basis. But I thought that was just an additional piece of information that would be helpful to have as people want to play through the what-ifs. And when we get to the point that there's a sale and somebody wants to come in and they want to talk about incentives, then we can marry this information with what they're proposing so that we can have a well-balanced kind of incentive package to bring them into the community.
But we're not going to get something yet back. I'm just saying, no.
So the 18th, that's right. They're assessed on the new assessment rules are January 1st, 2016. We move the March date up. So whoever owns property on January 1st, 2016 is obligated to make tax payments instead of somewhere in June, saying that they're not going to pull out until the end of November of 16 or whatever. They'll be obligated to make that 2017 payment.
Because they'll be there.
Right. Odds are, if they still own the building and there's no production going on, we may not get the increment on the business personal property, but we're still going to get a real estate obligation. And, you know, do they continue to pay those taxes on that building? I think the answer is yes, because it's an asset.
Right.
They don't want to lose the building to an asset.
Right.
But then what they sell the building for, right, becomes a matter of time. The longer that building would sit and vacant, right, the less likely it is that they're going to get a full dollar return for it, which then opens up this avenue of appealing the assessment that currently sits on. So that's why the range in scenarios.
And looking at that front sheet on the 75%, I need to study it a little bit more, but that the 75% column.
That means we decrease the value 75%.
I understand that the tax is allocated. That seems low.
Well, it seems low because it's an increment. Remember, the base holds constant. If you look at that, the tax allotted to the base is constant because we only get the increment. So as we shrink that value is all borne by the redevelopment.
I'm sure that I'm just trying
right.
to understand that. So.
Well, but that's a great point because the underlying taxing entities, this is the way the TIF works, the base is protected. So they're always going to see those dollars, and the change in value is borne by us. If it increases, that's good for us. If it decreases, that's bad for us.
Yes.
And in this case, that decrease is all on us, and local government's share of those dollars stay the same. That's the same for I don't think that, saying that,
right? If we go to the business personal property piece, you'll see that number is zero, is what's allocated to the base, because that's all increment.
Right, okay.
Right, that's all increment, that's all on us, and in local government, because of the lack of that property there, the city of Winchester, the school corporation, the township, the county, has no loss in revenue as it relates to the business equipment there, because that's all borne by this lot. So your question, I was able to prove both ways, I'm glad for that, because then I don't have to go back for a stat question.
How do you blow this analysis?
But this is all based on that nothing changes.
Nothing changes. Nothing changes other than what happens out there.
Right.
Right. Any growth, any other development, all is a benefit and mitigates this.
Which I would say that we know for a fact that it is not going to stay the same.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah, this is more of a tool to just be aware.
I think it answers.
Oh, good point.
I think it answers those basic questions. What does this mean?
Yes.
And it gives you the opportunity as people approach you and say, what does this mean? At least now you're kind of informed of what those pieces are.
I think it's important to state that the main impact that we're looking at here, based upon what I'm hearing, is going to be with the redevelopment commission, and we look at it based upon scenarios. But the general fund obligation that we're really not going to be impacted significantly.
No. Now, because there are two components to what generates out there, right? There's the property tax issue, business and real property, which we've addressed here. The other one's income tax generation, right?
Yeah.
So the things that you have to look at are twofold. One is, are the people that are employed out there, do they reside in rental homes or outside of rental homes? That's number one. Because to the extent they're Randolph County residents that don't get reemployed, then you have a loss of those income tax dollars. And then two, that those income tax dollars get shared. If I live in Winchester and I generate income tax, that's not a dollar for dollar tax that Winchester receives. When the county gets those income tax dollars, be it edit or the county option income tax, or Cadget tax, and I can't remember which. That gets distributed by levy, right? So the dollar that I pay as a resident of Winchester in an edit tax gets distributed to the county and to the other municipalities in the county based on our levy. So all units across the county, share or gain by somebody that's employed within the county and earns income within the county. So you do have those, but it's not a dollar for dollar loss, right?
And it's not disproportionately more to Winchester, say.
Right.
Everybody loses. Right. So if somebody loses their job in Lynn, that affects all taxing.
Yes.
Winchester.
And with that, with the levy, the property tax levy, isn't that too, even to go with your distributions that you get from the income tax, doesn't that go along with your tax rate too, Jim? I mean, I notice sometimes I look at Union City and they're so similar to the distribution of what we get for income tax, and I know it's because of the property tax levy.
Mm-hmm.
So does the tax, that's where, does the actual tax rate have an influence on that Cadget that you get back from your, on your income tax?
It's all the relationship of levy.
Okay. Of the levy. So it doesn't have anything to do with.
It's pro rata to
levy. That's fine.
So there could be an argument that if you have similar assessed values and a higher tax rate, your levy would be higher. So there is a proportionality tied to tax rate.
Well, yeah,
but you could have a really low rate and a really high assessed value,
mm-hmm.
and have a higher rate or higher levy,
right.
than somebody that has the opposite. But it's all proportionality to the levies.
It sure is.
So we compare Winchester's levy to the total levy of all entities in the county. So typically what you'll find is counties up there, Winchester is not too far behind it when we look at proportionally, because the county has a lower tax rate compared to what the city of Winchester's is, but they tax over more people, so they have a slightly higher levy in total. So that's how you get to the proportionality.
But I don't think that the impact on the income side of it is nearly as detrimental to the city's revenue, to the city's general fund revenue, as it would be to the redevelopment commission's cash flow. Because it runs the debt for the two different revenue streams, calculated in a different way and shared. The income tax is definitely shared across the county. This property tax burden is borne primarily by this body.
If this body cannot generate, or doesn't have revenue to pay off the bonds, the city is the ultimate.
Not necessarily. Being a lot of this debt that we put out there, the redevelopment commission, that was paid solely from the income. So we have some that we've said if it's not sufficient, we'll levy a property tax. I think Greenville Avenue has a special benefits tax behind it, I think, if we did it that way. But if you look at all these other private obligations, now, does the city have a moral obligation to try to step up and cure that or to find an alternative? Yeah. But I mean, in the true legal sense, an investor bought those bonds based on the increment that was being generated. And in almost all cases, and that's why we kind of combined the areas, right? That we cross-collateralized those so we had a revenue stream that could be, you know, easily manipulated one way or the other as these districts were out there. But in most of those obligations, if you really want to take the position of, you were paid on increment, there's no increment, I think that's a bad move. I think that kills you for everything in the future.
I was going to say, Jim thinks that's immoral. I think you'll never get another bond again. It's not a moral issue here.
Purely from a legal standpoint, I would tell you that's all you've done. Have a moral obligation to deal with that, but you have no requirement.
Right.
I would tell you that's a foolish move. And you find a way to get around that. And in almost every circumstance where we've had what I'll call a hiccup like this, we find a way to do a workaround.
So the city council wouldn't be responsible then if, like Cohen's scenario was, in that you were saying if we couldn't afford this, and I mean, if we didn't get the revenue in and we couldn't pay the bonds, if it would not come back to the council, and the council wouldn't have to put on a special tax or anything like that if this is missing, if we don't have that revenue coming in. How would that work?
Oh, I could give you 100 different scenarios how we want that to work.
Right.
I would tell you that to think that if there was a position that this body was put in that seemed to be insurmountable on its own, I think we would be looking to get and to partner with the city council to come up with a way to get around it, right? And to get over that hump. You could do a couple of things. I would look at, you take the increment that's available and you pay all the increment-related debt first, and you short the Greenville Avenue payment, which then requires a special benefits tax to be levied, right? So you could wind up going back
to the council
to get a payment. I mean, push comes to shove, and all things, you know, we're exhausted. There's no place to get money from. You can't borrow from the city. There's no rainy day fund. There's no edit fund. There's no cash. Remember, we sit in our financial packet at the end of any given year about $400,000 of excess increment that we've got that gets us through from time to time. So, you know, if we have to take a $100,000 hit in a year, could we do it with what we've got? Yeah. Could we do it for 2 years? Yeah. Could we do it for 3 years? Yeah. The fourth year would be the last year we could do it at $100,000 a pop. But you know what? Now we've lived through 4 years. 2 years from now, when that period starts, that's 6 years from now, which I think is plenty of time to deal with it and to come up with other alternatives. So, you know, is the city council totally removed from it? Not necessarily. But I think there's no reason why they would want to back off and say, oh, no, not us, because it impacts us all.
Well, I think you're exactly right. I think these figures tell us there's not this cliff out there. There's a time period that we can adjust it as we go.
The sky's not falling.
That's exactly right. And the other part of it is, though, it is an obligation of the redevelopment corporation, and in some cases directly, in some cases indirectly, an obligation of the city, that they would have to review that. But because the last thing you want to do is not pay, and because future borrowing would cost you so much more than what these payments are, that would be a really foolish move. But it's not, the sky is not falling. This is something that can be handled.
Right. The risk assessed by any investor in obligation you're going to put forward is, what is the likelihood that I'm going to get full and timely payment on my obligation? That's the driver, full and timely. So if we get to a point where the revenue stream wouldn't provide for that, and we come up with alternatives, plan B, plan C, plan D, and we get through that, as far as the investing public is concerned, we've solved the problem and we can get to full and timely payment. And it doesn't impact us. But if we walk away and say, no, if we can't pay you today, we'll pay you next week, that's a huge thing that lives with you for a long time. I mean, it's generational.
This is a perfect scenario, and we discussed it at the Randolph County Development Corporation Tuesday evening for a time. But it's the perfect scenario of why every resident in Randolph County should be involved in economic development and doing something to move forward to retain jobs and create jobs in this county. It's so important to us. And this is one more weather, and it's good to have a roadmap.
I think, you know, if you look back, the mayor and I talked about this the other day, and you can stop it, I start going down the wrong path. But, you know, the worst case scenario, absolute worst case scenario would have been earlier this year, or in late last year, if RDAW would have said, we're not putting in the money we need to do this facility. And they closed. Now Winchester's in this position that they're booking. You're booking on both ends, east and west, with large industrial employers that are gone. That's a bad scenario, right? And we're nowhere near that. So we were able to work with the folks at RDAW to show them why Winchester was valuable. I'm sure we'll work with whoever is going to look at, you know, investing in that property out there to do the same thing. But when you talk about nightmares, and we talked about this, Mayor, that's the one that would keep me up at night. To have both, you know, if that would have happened earlier in the year and now this came on, you know, this was the second shoe,
sure.
We'd be having a much different conversation. I wouldn't have to show you schedules like this, because it would be kind of evident what our problems would have been. So.
Well, this is helpful.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any further discussion with the commission? Review those, and Mayor, update on the Greenbelt project.
Phase three, section between 27 and the entrance to Walmart is getting striped as we speak. So the confusion on the traffic flow out there is going to go away, hopefully, and that we'll give people an opportunity to really get a good feel for the reason the road was designed the way it is, and the safety impact that was included in the design of that road that should help alleviate a lot of bottlenecks now that the areas have been striped off with middle turn lanes. And turn lanes coming up to 27 is going to go a long way towards relieving bottlenecks. They've also put re-energized the cables in the road so that these traffic signals should go back on demand rather than on timer, which I know has been a source of contention for a lot of people. So hopefully that issue has been put to bed as well. And if you go out to Vision Park, you'll find out that the rest of Vision Park has been striped as well. We had that road taken care of while these people were in town, so that we have the traffic lanes designated out there, so that that is one to-do thing that's been scratched off the list. Phase three is probably about 87 percent done. Last report I got was that they anticipate the cement contractor to be back in Monday to finish up the cement work on the south side of that road for the sidewalks. The report I got was that if for some reason the cement contractor is not able to come back in and get that taken care of, that the general contractor will step in and take care of the finishing that up himself, because they're as anxious to get this project out there finished as we are. So overall, I think we've got a good-looking project. I think the benefits are huge. I think the safety that has been brought to that corridor is immense, and it's good to know that we're going to have people actually being able to walk on the sidewalks and not out in the right-of-way. Phase one and phase two are about at 14% completion. It is chaotic out there to try to drive through that area. But in a best-case scenario, we would have closed that corridor down and let them get in there and work with the hospital being there. I'm not going to do that. I've seen ambulances come through there while they've got traffic control up there. So as long as practical and probable, that corridor will be kept open for traffic. The storm sewer has been put in place almost in total. On the south side of the road, from the ambulance shelter all the way up to Sunset Drive, they've got a little bit of utility work that has to be done on the other side of Sunset Drive, and then they'll extend that up and add a catch basin on that side. They're also getting structures set on the north side as well. There was a little bit of a hitch with the county drain that we're going to be addressing for the open drain that goes underneath the road, and county drain that goes underneath the road there. And plus, we are anticipating there's going to be a few hiccups once they get the camera crew in and do some surveying of the sanitary sewer. There may be some spot repairs that have to happen on that could slow the project down a little bit. In a perfect world, they would be forming curbs next week. We'll see. Instead of Monday, it might be Friday. It might be maybe the week after that. But I think that work is progressing nicely out there, and every day brings us a little closer to completion. So that project is moving to a finality.
Good. Yeah. Any other business under new business? I don't have any. Under old business, Vision Park, TIF district there.
You should have, as stated, we did take care of the striping out there on Vision Drive and then Rainbow, and took care of that and got the designated turn lanes put in on that corridor. The pond is completed. They haven't finished the tree replacement that they're required to do, but we anticipate that happening in the short term. There will be, and if you recall, part of the bond issuance for the Greenville project was also to cover the cost of putting in and paying for that pond that was required in the drainage plan. So there will be a claim coming down the road, I think, for a little over $18,000 for the purchase of the land where the pond sits. That, as we talked about the last meeting, I got overlooked, and so that's coming. With that, there's not really a whole lot else going on out the Vision Park TIF district this time.
27 East?
27 East TIF district, obviously adjacent to the 27 East TIF district. If you go out there and look at the old Marsh Plaza, you'll see that the Marsh shop is the same in memory. The new business will be going in there shortly. It'll be a freestanding building. There'll be a little bit of a space between there and where the Dollar General is. There was a little bit we were able to, by working with the contractor and developer of that property, we were able to get control of the drainage basin that's located directly south of that building. I think that is key to the development of the Sim Center corridor as far as future development out there, and having a concise drainage plan in place to take to handle any business that's going to develop out there. So we've got control of that now, and that should help new development as we move forward on the 27th East End District.
Steve, you say we got control of that. Does that mean the city owns that?
City will own that.
Where that farm is?
Yes.
What's Fairview and Marsh is?
Tractor Supply.
Willow Ridge?
Everything's lovely at Willow Ridge. Good people, no concerns, no issues.
Streetlights still working well?
The streetlights work very well.
24/7.
The kid has some driver asking about that. I figured you had your ladder out and fixed that already.
I've been tempted. It ain't that complicated, you know?
Minutes from the, I've received the minutes.
Has the secretary done the minutes?
We'll need to, I need to go back and listen to those.
What do you mean, Scott?
Aren't you the secretary?
I'll get you something out for that.
If you would.
And I'll do that for this one.
Thank you.
I don't remember who was appointed secretary, but it was not me.
Oh, yeah.
No, it wasn't.
No. Keep in mind, I'm writing the minutes out, and I'll probably say whatever I say.
Touche. And then the financials, we've had the financial report, basically. You've had an opportunity to review the other, everything else that was presented in the financial information in the London Woody packet. Do I have a motion to approve the financials as presented?
So moved.
Scott Hawkins, got a second?
Second.
Tom Wallace. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Bills and claims have been, they've been sent around. Has everyone had a chance to review those? I have a motion on those.
So moved.
Todd?
Steve, I've got a question on the children. Gameso or the maintenance for the wind turbine?
Gamesa.
Gamesa. They do maintenance on the wind turbine?
Yeah. They come in and they roll it up, they go through it and make sure that everything's operating correctly. They've got a yearly contract with us as a supplier of that to go in there and make sure I don't know if they're in there once or twice a year and just make sure that it's operating efficiently and effectively. I think this last time they had to replace our paperwork in there.
I have a motion made by Todd Schroeder. Is there a second on the bills and claims?
Second.
Scott Hawkins. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And opposed. And then Greenville docket. Seen those. That's been passed around also. So if you have the approval.
Second.
Okay, motion made by Cohen and Wallace. And seconded by Todd. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you. And we have, we've completed all this.
Question, I noticed Richard is here, and he has done an awful lot of work on that building. Have you submitted?
I think he and JP and he have not come to.
I sent them new paperwork.
Last time I talked to him, he didn't have anything new paperwork, so he wasn't going to make it immediately. So I think they're still working through some things, and I don't know what the status of that is.
Well, he wanted me to get contractors, bids for all of the work we were going to do. I submitted 5 contractors, not one of them would give me a bid, said it's too far out of their spectrum to do. I did get Hand and Bridge to come in and do it. Yeah, and our initial bid on just that frontage part, I believe was $9,500. We got it done, for $4,870, so we got about half price of what we submitted the original paperwork for. And I submitted this, the bill that I paid to Kevin, she sent it to him along with pictures of before and after. And I have that for you guys if you want, and I have a copy with me for you.
He'll bring that to us, that's really not necessary, he'll bring it to us when it's time for approval.
That was sent to him, what, a week and a half ago?
We're definitely working with him, so.
He doesn't seem to ever return calls or any further correspondence with me, but I'm trying.
We'll follow through to make sure it's done.
I wanted to get this done before winter, because some of the stuff you just can't do in the winter.
And I'm sure he's working for some reimbursement. We can do that, so. What do we have to do to get it done?
JP Hall needs to recommend and say what it's supposed to be, and I've sent him the invoice. And don't they have a committee that meets?
They have a committee, there's a process that has to go through with Mr. Hall and gets involved with it, and there's a type of outreach and satisfied with the way it's going, then he'll bring the committee together, make the recommendation, they'll make a motion, and then that'll come to this board.
We brought it back to exactly line that it was originally, the storefront from the original theater and stuff was at an angle, and actually it was about a 2-3 or 4-inch ledge in there. We just went right to that exact ledge, so it's exactly like it was before. The only difference is we put a double front door instead of a single door. And we put a bigger picture window in than that has, and different trim and stuff. So. Get a lot of good comments about it from the residents in there.
Big improvement.
We still have a little bit more to do. Hopefully it's supposed to be done next week.
Yeah.
That does show up, looks nice.
And we're filling in the 2 back bays that were just empty. I've got one of them full and the other one about half full now, so hopefully finish up being full.
I saw you were working on that again today.
Yesterday and today. We put like 17 dump truck loads in the last 2 days. So.
Really?
And we got the interior done on the end of the building, the interior is done. On the 133.
I'll catch you sometime, probably next week, and just go and take a look at it.
Sure.
I'd like to see it.
We put all LED, like lights, all IVs only, put them in LED bulbs. And so your electric cost is about 80% less than normal.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And, I get these bulbs now, since I'm the president of the company in China for bulbs, I get these bulbs fairly cheap. So if it's something the city ever wants to do with their lights, I can make them a good deal on your light bulbs. Save the electric bill a lot.
You said that cuts?
About 80%.
About 80%?
Yeah. My office is all LED, and, you know, my store, and my light bill last month, I think, was $38.
Wow.
Any other business to come before the Redevelopment Commission? If not, I need a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Dallas, thank you for coming.
Thank you.
And thanks for the folks out there.
What building are you talking about?
The ceremony and the jury.
I'm going to carry more.